Okay, today we are learning Perek Dalid Mishnah Yud Beis of Maseches Ksubos, as well as Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph. We're going through all these various Tanai Ksuba that even if he doesn't write it, it's a Tanai Beis and then he's automatically bound by it. Ata Yosef Beis Yimetazim Yenichsi, even if he didn't write that you get to live in my house and you're supported for my property, Kol Yimei Megal Almanusich Beveisi, all the days that you remain an Almana in my house, Chayiv, he's still obligated to do that. That as long as after he dies, as long as his wife is still an almana and has not yet collected her ksuba, she gets supported from his estate. That's an automatic shu tenai beizdin. That's a tenai beizdin. It's a beizdin made a takana. That's the way it's going to be. Kacho yo anshi Yerushalayim kosvin. The way the anshi Yerushalayim would write in their ksubas was the way we just recorded it. But anshi Galil lo yikosvin kanshi Yerushalayim. The anshi Galil would write similar to anshi Yerushalayim. Anshe Yehuda Yukosin, but the Anshe Yehuda would write, Achi Yirtu Ayorshin Litin Lech Ksubasich, that you can continue to be supported until the Yorshin decide to pay off your Ksuba. And once they do that, then you can no longer continue to be supported from my estate. So if the Yarshim want, they can just give her the ksuba, and that's it. And she'll be on her merry way, and they don't have to continue to support her. In Yerushalayim, in the Galil, they didn't add that extra tanai, and therefore they could not force her to accept her ksuba. She might say, no, thank you. I'd rather not accept my ksuba. I'd rather stay living in the house and continue to be supported. It was in Yerushalayim. In the Galil, it was only in Yehuda that the Yorshim were holding the cards in their hand to decide what to do. Now we move on to the fifth parak of Maseches Ksubos, Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph. So says the Mishnah, even though the rule is that a ksuba gets 200 zuz and an almana gets 100 zuz, if you want to add even 10,000 more zuz into your ksuba, you could do that. If she then becomes an almana or they get divorced, whether they only had erisin or whether they had full nisuin, so that she's able to collect the full amount, including the tosefes. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, if they had nisuin and then they got divorced or she became an almana, yeah, then she's entitled to everything. But mina erisin besulug of masayim almana mana. If she only had erisin, then a besula gets 200 zuz and almana gets 100 zuz. Shlo kasov la el almanas lekansa, because the whole reason he gave that extra amount, the tosefes ksuba, was because of the plan of doing nisuin. If it never got to a point of nisuin, then he does not have to pay for that extra amount. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imratza, if the Chassan wants and she agrees, and the Kala agrees, Kosev Lebesula Shtar Shel Masayim, you could write a 200 Zuz Ksuba to a Besula, Vihi Koseves, and she could write to him, His Kabalti Mimcha Mana, that I've already received 100 Zuz, even though she hasn't. It's just her way of saying, I'm being Mochel 100 Zuz. Or Uli Almana Mana, he can write a Ksuba to an Almana worth 100, Vihi Koseves, His kavalti mimcha chamishim zuz, and she could say, "I was mekabel 50 zuz from you," as a way of saying, even though she wasn't really mekabel anything, as a way of saying that I'm really mochel. And then, when it comes time to actually pay the ksuba, he's not going to be obligated in the full amount that he really should have been obligated in. Rameir disagrees, and he says, "No, kolapchoches lebesula mimasayim lamana mimana hareze piilas nos. If you give a besula any less than 200 zuz, or almana any less than 100 zuz." They're not allowed to be married. By staying married together, it's as if it's a bi'ilas nos, meaning the point of the ksuba is for it to be something that makes it difficult for the man to get divorced. And once you take all the teeth out of it by making it a lesser amount, so then it's an ineffective ksuba. So it's akin to a bi'ilas nos. So let's review what we learned today. In Perek Dal, Mishnah Yud Beis, we said that if the husband doesn't include a tanai in the ksuba that his almana gets to continue to live in his house, he has to do it anyway because it's a tanai beizdin. The lashon of the Anshe Yerushalayim and the Anshe Galil was that as long as she wants, as an almana, she can continue to live in his house and be supported by his estate. But the lashon of the Anshe Yehuda was that the Yisomim have an out, and their out is that they could pay the ksuba. That if they pay her ksuba amount, then they could chuck her out of the house. They they could throw her out of the house. Perakei Mishnah Aleph, we said that even though a basula gets Masayim Zuz and Almana gets 100 Zuz, you're allowed to be Mosif on the Ksuba as much as you want. And then we had a Machlokes, what if the marriage ends after Erusin? Can she collect even the Tosefes? Tanakama says yes. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. Only if the marriage ends after Nisuin can she collect the Tosefes. But if it's after Erusin, she cannot collect the Tosefes because he only wrote that Tosefes because of the plan of having a Nisuin. Now, can you minimize the amount of money in the Ksuba? I mean, we just spoke about being Mosif. Can you be Megareya from the Ksuba? So this is Machlokas Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yudah says, yeah, the way to do it is you write the normal amount and then you have her write a receipt back to him that I already received half the amount. And that's perfectly fine. Rameir says, absolutely not. If she did not actually receive half the amount, she cannot write that. And it's as if you're having a bi'ilas nus if you continue with such a marriage after having a ksuba that is less than the real proper amount that she's supposed to have. Bein lebesula, bein li'almana. Okay, Be'ashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Parakei, Mishnayis, Beis, and Gimel.